Growing up in the 90s, there are certain absolute truths. The best drink on the planet was Hi-C Ecto Cooler. Seeing a blank wall at Blockbuster on Friday night was soul-crushing. And Beavis and Butthead was one of, if not the greatest TV shows ever created. So it was no surprise in 1996 when those two lovable losers made the leap to the big screen. As we celebrate the return of these iconic characters, it's time we find out just what the fuck happened to Beavis and Butthead to America. Mike Judge is not your average legendary animator. He was born in Ecuador on October 17, 1962, and moved to New Mexico when he was just 7. Judge's mom would enroll him in a cartoon drawing class at the local YMCA, but would withdraw him from the course shortly after when she noticed the class's instructor hitchhiking along the road and figured there would be no money in animation.
The fuck?
Judge would enroll at the University of California, San Diego, where he would major in physics, something he would later say made him a better animator because it helped him animate things to scale. After graduating, Judge would work as an aerospace engineer in Dallas, as well as programming test systems for F-18 Hornet fighter jets before realizing that his chosen path in life was profoundly boring to him.
What?
This is boring. Delete.
He would then follow his second passion, playing the bass guitar, and would play in the Shamu Blues Band at SeaWorld. During this time, Judge would make his first animated film, the Milton short that would become the basis for his cult classic film, Office Space. The success of the cartoon, which he sold for $2,000, would make him think that he could actually make some money from animation. So, he decided to pursue that instead of going back to school to become a math teacher.
Animation is horrible. I don't recommend it to anybody unless you're just doing it yourself. When it becomes a show or a movie, it becomes an administrative thing. All of a sudden, it's like, to get what you want, you gotta tell everybody to do it.
Judge's next animation would be the one that solidified the rest of his life. It would be of two slacker kids playing a new game called Frog Baseball. The animated short aired on MTV's alternative animation program, Liquid Television, and would prove a massive hit, with MTV immediately buying the rights to the two characters and ordering an additional 65 four-minute cartoon shorts. Judge would base the titular names on people he actually knew. Bobby Beavis, who Judge said was nothing like the character, he just liked the name, and a next-door neighbor who called himself the Iron Butt because he claimed you could kick him as hard as you could on his butt and it wouldn't hurt him. He had a friend that everyone called Butthead, while other characters were also taken from Judge's real life, including Principal McVicker, who was based on his alcoholic band teacher. Judge would base Beavis's iconic laugh on a kid he went to school with who would sit in the front row and bite his lip when he would laugh.
There's a wonderful and exciting world out there when we discover that we don't need TV to entertain us.
While Butthead's voice would come from when Judge had braces and talked like that to keep the metal from scraping up his cheeks.
He said, ain't enough. Entertain us, ain't enough.
Beavis and Butthead would premiere on MTV on March 8, 1993, and become an immediate smash hit with fans ranging from Patrick Stewart to Marlon Brando and Johnny Depp, who told Judge that the duo would sit between takes of their film Don Juan DeMarco and imitate the characters. Time magazine critic Kurt Anderson even wrote that it may be the bravest show ever run on national television, while Rolling Stone said that it was the biggest phenomenon on MTV since the heyday of Michael Jackson. However, not everyone was a fan. Parents immediately took issue with their children looking up to two seemingly moronic characters with a penchant for provocative language and violence. That controversy hit the fan when in December 1993, 5-year-old child set fire to his home, tragically killing his 2-year-old sister.
And just today, Austin, Texas fire officials say at least 3 fires in that city were likely caused by children who got the idea from Beavis and Butthead shows. Luckily, no one was killed in those fires.
The mother blamed Beavis and Butthead for the tragedy, saying that Beavis's love of fire influenced her child into setting the fire. MTV would act swiftly, moving the show out of primetime and no longer allowing the character to even use the word fire in any further episodes, with previous episodes being edited to remove any references.
No. I think they should leave it the way it is.
faithful viewers of the show old enough not to take it so seriously feel MTV shouldn't take the show's criticism so seriously either.
I don't think it's MTV's fault at all. I think it's the parents' fault for maybe letting kids like 5 years old watching the show.
Beavis and Butthead were also blamed for an 18-year-old who dropped a bowling ball from an overpass that tragically, again, killed a child. A watchdog group with nothing better to do decided to blame the show and its creators for the incident, saying the boy was inspired by it.
Probably wouldn't be as funny, I guess. You know, that's probably what makes it what it is these crazy things that they do to these, you know, the teenagers that seem to appeal to the show.
However, in both of these tragedies, it was later revealed that neither of these households had cable, and thus had never seen the show.
And so after giving in and making changes, MTV may learn what's good for highly responsible programming may not be so good for highly rated programming. Viewers say if they change all of what's so bad about Beavis and Butthead, it may change what's so good about them in the first place. And the viewers may change themselves. Change channels.
With those controversies behind them, it was time to think about expanding the brand.
Cool.
The idea for a big screen film began in 1993 when MTV producer David Geffen and Warner Brothers proposed a live-action film that would have starred either David Spade and Adam Sandler or David Spade and Chris Farley as the lead characters. The idea sat dormant for a while until MTV's parent company Viacom purchased Paramount Pictures, with the studio replacing Warner Brothers on the film. Judge immediately convinced the heads at Paramount that a live-action film was a horrible idea, and that making the film animated was a far better way to go. Judge says he still had reservations about bringing the duo to the big screen, but at the time, he was under contract for 8 seasons of the show, and he used the movie as leverage to shorten his contract, with the final episode of the original run, Beavis and Butthead Are Dead, airing on January 28, 1997. Judge originally pitched a few story ideas, including one where a virus spreads throughout town, turning everyone into Beavis and Butthead clones, as well as a joke pitch that would see Beavis and Butthead sitting in a Burger World restaurant, eating a hamburger in real time for an hour and a half, which sounds like a horrible idea, but could you imagine Beavis and Butthead people watching and making fun of all the customers that come in and out of that restaurant? We kind of want to see that movie now.
Well, what the hell is your point?
I don't know.
Dumbass.
Showing how out of touch movie executives can sometimes be, when Judge was first working on the film, one studio exec asked him who he envisioned voicing Beavis and Butthead, completely oblivious to the fact that Judge voiced both characters. Another note Judge got was that they wanted him to intersperse the film with music videos, the same way the show did. However, Judge didn't think stopping the movie for music videos was such a good idea, so he came up with a desert hallucination scene set to Rob Zombie's Rat Finks, Suicide Tanks, and Cannibal Girls, with the animation being inspired by Zombie's own drawings. This was considered a compromise. With word spreading around town that a Beavis and Butthead movie was in the works, some big-name talent threw their names in the ring to be a part of it. However, with just a $12 million budget, it meant that many of these stars had to work for a SAG minimum, which they all gladly did, including Demi Moore as Femme Fatale Dallas, Bruce Willis as Muddy, Cloris Leachman credited as Old Woman on Plane and Bus, Robert Stack as Agent Fleming, Eric Bogosian providing several voices, director Richard Linklater as the tour bus driver, and uncredited Greg Kinnear as ATF Agent Bork, who can't help but end a sentence in a preposition, David Spade with several background voices, and even David Letterman as Motley Crue roadie number one, aka Butthead's dad. Although, he would be credited as Earl Hoffer, Letterman's real-life uncle. Ever the professional, Cloris Leachman would record all her dialogue with either hard candy in her mouth or while eating a sandwich that would get stuck to the roof of her mouth. This gave her character a more elderly sound. However, when the audio got to the post-production house, an audio technician painstakingly removed all the imperfections in the dialogue, resulting in them having to go back and re-record some of her lines. One person was not a fan when he saw the completed film. Robert Stack apparently was so embarrassed to be in the film that he actually paid a legal team to have his name removed. Of course, he came to his senses before anything happened. Keep in mind, Robert Stack was also in Caddyshack 2, yet this is the film he was embarrassed by.
So, are you going to tell us where it is, or am I going to have Agent Hurley over there give you another cavity search? Did you give him a full cavity search? These people know something. I want full cavity searches. Everyone, go deep on them. Bork?
Cavity search?
Deep and hard. I want that camper torn apart. full cavity searches all around. I want you to give this scumbag a cavity search. I'm talking Roto-Rooter. Don't stop till you reach the back of his teeth.
I remember about, halfway through the record, he said, So, the script is all about cavity searches, is it?
The film's composer, Bill Frizzell, wasn't sure how to score an animated comedy film, so he called up his mentor, legend Elmer Bernstein, and asked him for some advice. Bernstein told him to score the entire movie as serious as possible, and that in turn will amp up the comedy, something Bernstein was quite familiar with, as he scored the comedy film Airplane. When the film hit post, it had to make some minor changes to secure its PG-13 rating, including adding boxer shorts to the scene where Principal McVicker is being spanked in the motel room, as he was originally naked from the waist down, as well as a scene where Muddy offers Butthead a sip of whiskey, as the MPAA told Judge that even the briefest clip of underage drinking was enough to get an R rating.
Everyone in this bloody pub is underage! That bra's got padding in it! His mum still buys his trousers!
Test screenings for the film were astonishing, even pulling in higher numbers than Paramount's recent Best Picture winner, Forrest Gump. However, one scene did not test well and was ultimately deleted. Beavis and Butthead in the National Archives using the Declaration of Independence as toilet paper. Advertising for the film began in summer 1996 with some very well-received teaser trailers that didn't give too much away. They just let the world know a Beavis and Butthead movie was coming. MTV and Paramount didn't have high expectations for the film.
Coming this winter to a theater near you.
If I'm coming.
With its award season release date and stiff competition from films such as the live-action 101 Dalmatians, the George Clooney-Michelle Pfeiffer One Fine Day, and the first Scream film, the studios were just hoping for the film to hold its own as alternative programming. However, when Beavis and Butthead Do America, a play on the infamous title Debbie Does Dallas, opened on December 20th, 1996, it became the highest grossing opening weekend in December.
Cool.
Ever.
Cool.
With over $20 million in receipts on its way to a $63.1 million box office take. Critics would hail the film as hilarious and irresistible, saying it had a satisfying mix of juvenile humor and genuine satire, giving further praise to the fact that Mike Judge was able to give the delinquent duo some humanity. Even Siskel and Ebert praised the film, giving it the highly coveted two thumbs up. The film wouldn't be for everyone, though, of course, with the Razzie Awards nominating it for Worst New Star and Worst Screen Couple. Even more surprising, given that Beavis and Butthead was the big screen adaptation of MTV's biggest show, the MTV Movie Awards only nominated it for one, Best On-Screen Duo, which it didn't even win. Some countries, however, just didn't get the joke.
What?
In Turkey, the title of the film would be changed to Beavis and Butthead, America's Nightmare, while Malaysia would outright ban the film for its strong sexual content, crude humor, and violence. In the years since its release, the movie has only gained in popularity. Just like Mike Judge's criminally underrated Idiocracy, many people have called Beavis and Butthead Do America ahead of its time in its accurate portrayal of present lives. Sure, you could say it's just the story of two delinquent morons, but when you look at the intelligence on display in every other Mike Judge project, you realize that the moronic duo are actually two of the smartest, most socially relevant characters ever created. With the film a solid hit and the show ending just 1 year later, there had been endless discussions of a sequel or other projects involving the pair. Judge says that conversations would start up every other year on ways to bring the duo back, but none ever came to fruition. Until 2011, when MTV brought the show back for a 12-episode revival. It was meant to be the start of a new run on the series. However, Judge says that even though the show got strong ratings, it didn't fit in with MTV's new direction of reality television. So again, fans waited. Sure, we had the over 200 episodes to enjoy along with the hilarious movie, but the world needed more Beavis and Butthead. In 2018, Judge said he would love to make a sequel. It was just a matter of coming up with an idea. In 2019, he would follow that up by saying he had some ideas, but was working on how to make it relevant to today's world. And then, in 2021, it was announced. Beavis and Butthead was officially coming back with a new movie and two new seasons of the show. On June 23rd, 2022, Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe was released to the streaming service Paramount+. Critics praised the film for staying true to what the series always was, while updating it with topical biting satire, in the way only Beavis and Butthead could. And really, we couldn't agree more. Beavis and Butthead Do the Universe was exactly what we wanted out of a sequel. It could have gone the Dumb and Dumber 2 route and completely lost touch with what made us love the characters to begin with, but it didn't. It took everything we ever loved about the dim-witted duo and brought it to the year 2022. It is a near-perfect sequel that has us more pumped than ever for the two new seasons of the show, coming soon to Paramount+. Beavis and Butthead Do America was kind of an experimental film, a big-screen adaptation of a show with a pretty niche audience. But it came out and surpassed all expectations, becoming a true classic in the process. Over 25 years later, the film is still talked about with high regard. The film is a true timeless classic for many, which is the good thing about animation. The characters still feel as fresh as the first time you ever saw them, with a sequel bringing back that nostalgic feeling of the early 90s, when the world first laid eyes on Beavis and Butthead hitting a frog with a baseball bat.
That was cool.
Okay, maybe that hasn't aged too well. But creator Mike Judge was onto something, shining a light on our society by presenting two dim-witted delinquent youths who we could laugh at while they were laughing right back at us. And that is what the f*** happened to Beavis and Butthead Do America.
You know, the most important thing you can have on a camper is a good propane regulator. And this here's the best one they make.
So, are we gonna score now?
Yeah, me first.
Let us know your thoughts. Leave a comment in the comments, and thanks for watching.